You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hi, welcome to FanWidth, the FanBite podcast. This is day two of our PAX East coverage. And I'm getting some shaking heads, and I'm not knowing if that means I'm wrong or just exhaustion.
Oh, yeah.
Day two.
You're right.
It is day two. Okay, I am correct about that. Yeah, we are in FanBite HQ in our hotel room, our suite. We're huddled around this sturdy wooden table. And
such a thick table.
I'm Mary Kay, features and trending editor of fanbite.com, and joining me on this one, we've got John Warren.
Hi.
Hey.
Hello.
Head of media.
That's me.
EIC.
My weird dumb title.
Yeah.
Didn't pick it.
Well,
it's fine.
You can pick your friends and you can pick your nose, but you can't pick your title. Also joining me is managing editor Steven Strom.
Hello. It's me, the managing editor of FanBite.
That's what it sounds like in your brain.
That's what happens after 2 days.
Everyone has a managing editor in their brain.
These are your brain clowns speaking.
Everyone has brain clowns as well. Just constantly like juggling balls with their feet.
Yep. Juggling knives and throwing them in your back.
Yep.
Hello, it is me. This is my normal voice.
Yeah.
Oh, Sabriel, I forgot to tell you before we got on.
Also joining me is Danielle Riendo.
Hi.
What's your title again? Senior editor.
Senior editor.
Senior editor.
I'm a senior.
You know what,
I am a senior citizen editor. That's true.
Yeah. Senior
because
she's a mom. Choosing moms, choose fanbite.com.
Yeah.
And special guest on this one is Sabriel Mastin.
Hello, hello. Thank you so much for having me again.
Thanks for coming.
It's been a while since I've been on the show.
It's been so long. Jesus, I forgot you were on.
You were on
one
of the first episodes we did of this thing. Yeah, I remember that.
We also have small child Nikki Grayson.
We also have Nikki Grayson.
Hi, I'm here.
I wasn't sure if you had a mic.
No, yeah, I'm on this one.
Yeah, you're on this one. Okay.
Hell yeah.
Nikki is sort of like huddled over the Audacity computer.
Youth outreach editor.
Yeah.
Reaching out to youth in Istanbul to join our internship.
Fuck, man.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Yeah.
That's a real one, John. That's a real one that someone sent.
It's a real one.
It's almost 10 p.m. here in beautiful Boston, Massachusetts.
I mean, absolutely fuck this weather.
It's bad. I don't know how people live out here.
I know. Awesome. Like, listen, the two people on this table that live in Fargo, North Dakota, could basically just zip it the fuck up for a minute or two. Slide to say this throwing knife wind that is happening.
Yeah.
I am from Texas and Los Angeles. This is not fair. This is a criminal crime.
Yeah, it sucks.
Whenever I spread my arms out, I'm like a sail, like because just pushing me in the wind.
I love it, Walmart.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
That was very poetic.
Yeah. For the wind,
except it's knives. It feels like knives. This is cold.
No, it's currently like 32. And it feels like lower than that because of this wind.
Wind chill,
It's bad,
Goddamn wind.
But
where does it even come from?
Where does wind come from? That's a good question, Nikki.
Tree's sneezing.
Thanks for starting us off with a good one, Nikki. Where does wind come from?
Yeah. That's today's
Actually, wait a second. We're joking here. But if you were asked to explain wind, what would you say? Like, what's your best explanation of how wind comes from?
Teacher.
Where wind goes to, Steven?
I'm pretty sure it's heat and cold meeting each other.
Nope.
Wow.
Nope. The real answer is because Canada sucks and Iowa blows.
Wow.
Wow.
I'm very glad I just got a new hotel room key so I can leave. Just go to my room.
Wow. Okay.
Wow.
I don't actually feel that way about Canada.
That is one of those
Iowa
things where if someone asked me, I feel like I would gesture towards some vague thing of like, yeah, heat and air currents.
I mean, but
air currents is just another
right
way
path,
of saying wind.
They push. And yeah. They
it's pressure fronts.
They press. They are press.
I'm so press. They're so press.
So press.
Fan bite. We're so press.
We're so press.
I think
speaking
Nikki
of press,
off the recording at that one.
Yeah, Nikki's just watching Netflix over there now.
Yeah,
trying enough of our
shit.
She's
got some good
He's
Google Docs
on The Witcher.
Yeah, what's Gerald up to in this one?
Gerald,
what's Gerald doing? Oh, he's taking a bath. Okay.
I'm going to land the plane, Gerald.
One of the planes is silver. One is steel. One is for monsters and one is for humans.
What did people see today? I don't have an order that we should go in. What should Merritt?
Let me bring up
how
my
about
list.
The skeleton eviction scale?
Oh, a skeleton eviction.
No,
I thought
we
you
can't.
Said something else about eviction. I was like, are we really talking about
yeah,
eviction?
We're going to go there? Are we going to go there?
No, I am getting, a note from our producer to talk into the mics. So just,
this
just
is
a reminder to please talk into the mics. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. Thank you. Thanks
our
much
producer
smaller.
Drill really
good.
So yeah, I saw a few games today and, I don't know. I can start with one of them. Actually, let's start with the one that John and I saw because John didn't remember the name of this game and I didn't either, which I feel bad about because it looks pretty cool. It's called Hard Spaceship Breaker.
Oh, yes! Shit. I wanted to see that.
This is a game about... It's basically reverse Kerbal.
Yeah, that's kind of how I describe it.
You are
it's
being
crude,
paid to salvage spaceships in space. So you're kind of doing like a spacewalk thing and the police are coming.
They're not happy with us
because we're not talking in the mics.
We're breaking embargo.
Right, we are. Yeah,
It's Tom Nook.
But you're sort of like in zero G, floating around these procedurally / authorially designed ships, and just trying to like make the most money you can by slicing off parts and pulling them away, and like you throw some stuff into like a furnace to be melted down. You salvage like big chunks of it. And you have kind of this like cutter, like from
it's like an Isaac Clarke laser cutter. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And then also like
one to one where you like aim it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a first person
game. It's a first. Yeah.
So you can rotate it completely. Yeah.
The aesthetic is very like, to me, like Armored Core kind of with this very like spare UI.
Wow.
We're watching people play it and it just seems very like soothing almost because you can just take your time and like carefully plan, like you slice like the bolts on this one side and pull off an entire side of the ship. And also though, if you mess up, like we saw one guy like try and pull the reactor out and when it got pulled out of the cooling area, it just started melting down and it like vaporized half the ship and killed him. But you work for this company that basically you're in huge debt to them because they've giving you all your gear, and if you die, they just clone you and then add that to your tab.
Oh, wow.
which was very good.
Yeah,
that was a good touch of like, okay.
Yeah, John, what do you think of it?
I thought it was really cool. It was one of those games that I think I think I even did roll by it twice or three times and not really think about it. But when we kind of stood there for a second and just kind of watched it unfold. I could understand the tension points like immediately, but there was something so interesting about how surgical it was and being able to kind of manipulate these physics objects in space. There was tension there, and I can see it being kind of a difficult game if like players want it to be, if they want to like go for like the highest score possible. But there was also something very almost serene. We couldn't hear the sound. That was one thing that I don't know. I don't know if that was like intense, but like it looked really like it kind of almost a chill out game.
Yeah.
No, I played it.
You did?
Oh, really? Yeah, I played it. It's a total chill out game.
Yeah.
You can make it stressful if you want.
Yeah.
Or if you don't realize what you're doing.
Right.
Like, and you have a different experience like every time you play, depending on your goal. Like when my friend, he talked about him playing it, and he's like, yeah, I went through the airlock onto the ship and try to pull something out. And I'm like, oh, I just cut my way into the ship.
That's kind of great.
You also have an oxygen meter.
Yeah.
So if you don't cut your way in, you can actually go in and refill your oxygen in there.
Oh.
Yeah, where I had to go back to base
right,
and get some air.
That's cool.
Uh-huh. Okay,
and the ships all have like like logical, like electrical systems and stuff too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh. So like if you just cut your way in, like the power might go up, but then the, like the emergency lighting goes on. And so like the way that you approach it, it's really just like this big puzzle that you're just like pulling apart.
Sounds yeah. really it's, cool. It's really satisfying yeah. to rip off a warp, like a nacelle. They tell mm-hmm. you rip them off yeah. and then just launch that into the bay where you collect your money.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Can yeah. I say what this sounds like to me and like why it feels like I would be way into this? This sounds like Space House Flipper. You know what I mean?
Kind of, yeah.
It's
I mean,
just like it's just the joy of doing the like the thing and making the thing like look a different way, and then the number goes up, and yeah. then you're fine and you're happy.
Yeah.
Mm. But like mm-hmm. the thing about House Flipper that never really appealed to me is that it just always looked so like grimy and just kind of like not good. But like the idea of like putting that in a universe that is just like I'm cutting apart EVE Online super carriers and stuff like mm-hmm. that seems really right. interesting.
Yeah.
And what had they done previously? Do you remember?
They did the Homeworld stuff.
Is this the team that did the prequel?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
it is.
Mm. Okay.
They did a Homeworld prequel and they're working on Homeworld 3.
Wow.
And this was like the thing that Double Fine.
Yeah, they did like a.
Oh, yeah. They did like a. Breaking a team.
Amnesia Fortnite.
Amnesia Fortnite.
Yeah. yeah. And this is one jam. Of the things they ended up with.
Yeah.
And
that's then, really cool.
Which awesome. Which I actually, I wish I had, I think he got pulled away right when I wanted to ask him about this. But like, they were talking about the team of being more than 100 folks and the previous project ended. And what it sounded like to me is that they decided to do this kind of like game jam in order to retain that group
yeah.
and that's instead cool. of doing like a mass layoff like a lot of these companies do. I wanted to kind of ask him about that, but it sounded like a neat like way to, you know, keep a big company busy that may not have like a next big project
or right so, yeah right.
It enters early access soon, I think.
Oh, like, really?
It said early access like later this year.
Okay.
Nice. Like maybe in the summer. I can't remember what he said actually. I wrote it down somewhere. But I think it's one of those things that when it enters early access, it's going to get modes added, and it yeah. feels like a thing where
scenarios, yeah, different stuff. Yeah,
they're gonna continue to work on it. But I think the central conceit is like pretty cool. It's like simple, but like yeah, that's one of those things where it's almost like the opposite problem that I have with Disintegration, where like there's one core central idea that is actually kind of legible and interesting.
Yeah.
And, like, leaned all the way into the stuff that works with it instead of like trying to push a square peg in a round hole.
Right.
Is what Disintegration feels like. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that. That was cool. Nice. We got sucked into that and I
yeah, was
really
enjoying
it. Yeah,
that was definitely just like a walk by.
Yeah.
And then we just got sucked in. Like we didn't have a meeting with them or anything.
Yeah.
But
they pulled good. You in?
Nice.
Well,
we just
the designer.
Walked past and we're just like, huh. And we chatted with one of the designers. His name is Elliot. Yeah. Something. I didn't get his last name.
Yeah. But yeah, he was a nice guy. He was cool.
Cool.
Said a lot of interesting stuff about the game.
That Homeworld prequel was really good.
Yeah.
Deserts of Karak rules. Like, that's a really, really good RTS in an era where nobody's making RTSs.
Yeah. I mean, it's they seem like a really competent team just based on the
Based in Vancouver, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Canadian.
Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it.
Mary is just waiting, wearing a maple leaf hoodie right now. It's weird.
Wow.
Just
like... Good. I'm still charging up my banter meter. I'm very tired.
Yeah, you're a charge character. I get it.
I'm tired. Yeah. Oh. I got to hold back for like 3 seconds before I can press forward and do my like spin attack.
That's fair.
Yeah. I don't know, Steven, what did you see today? Anything interesting?
I probably, if I'm just talking about stuff that I saw today, I'm probably just going to jump right to the good stuff. So that's why I'm going
to
talk
yeah,
about
Yeah, jump right to the good stuff. Yeah. Okay, cut out the bullshit.
Yeah.
Just straight talk.
Yeah. I'm going to give you the straight dope on SpongeBob, Kettle for Bikini Bottom, Rehydrated.
Hell yeah, dude.
No,
hell
I'm
yeah,
not.
Dude.
That's for you, Nikki. I'm not going to deprive
that's
you of
Nikki's.
That. I really want to talk about, I went to go see Brace Yourself Games. The people who made Crypt of the Necrodancer and Cadence of Hyrule, who are making two games right now that are nothing like either of those.
Yeah.
Phantom Brigade and Industries of Titan.
Huh.
I don't know if anybody has heard about any of these at all.
Phantom Brigade is like that robot RPG?
It's a turn-based tactics game.
Right.
With, in mechs, yeah.
Yeah.
And it has like a really... That was the first one I saw. It has like a really cool concept. It's not even turn-based exactly because it's... do you remember the John Wick game that came out earlier this year?
John Wick Hex?
Yeah, John Wick Hex, yeah. It has a very similar thing where it's, there's a timeline of events out down on the screen at all times, and you can see what everyone is going to be doing and 5 seconds into the future at any given time. And you can just scroll through this thing, and it will show you silhouettes of tanks and other mechs and everything like that, and where they're going to be standing and where they're going to be shooting. And the mechs all, or the tanks or whatever always shoot at like a specific spot on the ground. So it's like, oh, if you just move your mech, if you just are not at 3 seconds from now standing in the spot where that enemy is shooting, or if you're behind cover or something, they're going to miss. So you can plot out these really intricate like movements of your units throughout the battle that way. And your units can move and shoot at the same time, which is like really interesting because it allows you to get into cover while shooting and stuff like that. And then you, you know, you set up these very intricate chains of events. The, of course, the problem being that like when you do these kinds of chains of events, you are intentionally screwing yourself up. You're screwing up your own predictions because if you step on a tank that is shooting at you or that is going to be standing in one place, they're not going to be there in your predictions from then on. So if that tank, there is friendly fire for both sides. So like if you, you can use a tank as a human shield or a tank shield, I guess, to block other shots. But if you blow up that tank before it gets to where it is meant to be 4 seconds from now, it's not going to block that shot and you could get hit by it. It is a little bit into the breach.
Little, that was my first
ITB?
Thought.
Was,
yeah, a little bit.
My game of the century? A little bit like that?
Yeah. It's a little bit like that. It's more granular because it's not like... It's turn-based in the sense that you can like everything moves in those 5 second increments,
yeah.
But it's not just like you can just like everybody does a move. You set up multiple moves during the 5 second time window and then see things play out. It's actually it's a little bit like Into the Breach meets Frozen Synapse, if you know that game.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
But the big difference, of course, being that you can see in Frozen Synapse, you can't see the you can't predict where enemy units are going to be. You can only predict where your own are going to be, and this allows you to see everything because you have a machine that lets you see into the future, basically.
Of course. Wow.
And that was really, really cool. I was not expecting to actually be more impressed. Maybe more impressed is not the right phrase, but be more surprised by the next game that I saw at Brace Yourself, which was Industries of Titan, which is a game that I think is going to be a smash fucking hit.
Whoa.
Because it is just a management game. It's like a, you know, it's a... sim hospital-esque kind of thing where you're like, you know, you set up like a bunch of workers who are walking around a building or whatever, but you're doing that on like the moon of Titan. Mm-hmm. And you're going down on
I'm
here
familiar.
And it's this kind of, what's that?
That's I'm familiar. That's oh, where Sloane lives.
Right, yeah. that's where you fight the hive.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. So Merritt, you get it.
Oh, I get it. Yeah, you got those Mercury Seas and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. You but yeah, it's a game you start
Isn't
off.
Is that where
you...
Leo DiCaprio died?
On Titan?
Yeah, Titanic.
Come on.
Oh boy. That's a wow. That's a rough
that
one.
Wow.
That's a
I'm fucking canceling this show.
So but Merit's, I applaud you.
Merit's wiener needs to charge. And I think yours needs a hard reset. So
I do need a hard reset.
No, it's okay.
It's perfectly fine.
We all do.
I'm also just talking.
Please put a paper
clip
in
what are
this,
you
in,
have
in
workers?
You got workers.
And what do they do?
Yeah, what
so,
do they do?
Yeah, basically you launch down onto this place, you have an HQ building or whatever, and you can send the workers out to go gather minerals, check for like alien.
That's important.
Yeah, you want minerals.
You want minerals. Also, want Vespian minerals. Gas, I understand. It's
Vespian
very
gas. Mm. There is straight up blue minerals and green minerals.
Hell yes. Those are the two most important parts of a balanced
Good.
Diet. Blue and green.
But yeah, it's you send out the workers to go harvest stuff for you and whatever, and you're building buildings and setting down stuff, and it's just one of those clockwork things of like everything's like, okay, they're going to go there, and that's going to take 30 seconds to build, and while they're right. doing that, you can send 5 other workers to go do other things.
Right.
Then the thing that they showed me that was like really impressive to me was wild because he said, okay, now click on that building, and I said, okay, and he said, now click enter, and then... It went inside of the building, and on top of the whole base building management thing, there's also like interior design of your structures.
Oh my gosh.
The entire time okay. that have their own workers and their own individual like little building things.
Ooh.
And you can like
So it's just kind of adding layers to a very familiar formula.
Yeah, totally. Gosh. And it's like it has that kind of good thing that I like from a game like Subnautica or Satisfactory, where you start off with like the very small version of a thing. Like you start off in Subnautica with like a mining laser that lets you just like stand here and like
bzzz. Yeah, yeah.
And then by the end of that game, you're in a fucking robot suit that's just like,
like terraforming the world. Yeah.
Right. So it starts off like you build a power generator inside of the building, and it's like, oh, it makes one power. And then, you know, they're saying like, yeah, and then 10 hours into a playthrough, you're building a power generator building that creates 7,000 power or whatever.
Yeah, that sounds
cool. I love make numbers go up.
I love make numbers.
It's straight up that.
It almost sounded like something like oxygen not included.
It is, yes. Okay. So it's going to hit that. That's the thing that I think is this is going to hit that audience really hard.
Okay.
It has a really, really clean, like, Merritt, you just talked shit about voxels earlier today, but it is voxel art.
Really?
Yeah.
It's
wildly clean and smooth voxel art of everything. Like everything just looks like it was like almost sculpted out of clay.
Okay.
In a weird
way. I'll wait and see.
I'm willing to try.
I'll take
it.
A look.
Yeah.
I'm willing to sample. I'll take a little teaspoon of that.
The last thing to say about it too is that the tone of it is kind of wild because they're saying like, oh yeah, it's kind of like a cyberpunk dystopian thing. It's like, oh, it's going to be dark. And he says, okay, so you hired a citizen from an off-world colony, which means that you could do two things with them. You can either put them in a booth to generate money, and they generate money by just watching ads 24 hours a day. They are strapped into a Clockwork Orange machine and fed ads.
So it's 2020.
Yes. Cool. And your other option to create power or something like that is that they go into the modification chamber, where they are modified they are surgically modified to no longer be able to sleep, so they can work for you forever and never have to rest.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds great.
I love it.
Hit me with that.
I just wish I could just not sleep, you know?
Yeah, of course.
Just always be making content.
Always be making content.
Always be content. Well, that sounds cool.
Did they say when it was coming out?
That is coming out into early access like very soon. I forget the exact time, but that is also coming out into early access soon. And it's also a game that I think is going to do very well in early access.
Yeah, I bet.
It sounds like it.
Yeah. Sabriel, what did you play today? Anything?
Today, the game I was most excited about was a game called Tunic.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Tunic.
Yeah,
yeah.
The Finji folks.
Yeah. I don't know if this is... I just missed this up until now, or if it's relatively new development, but...
Listen, it's a real cute fox.
It's an adorable fox. Like isometric Zelda-like game.
Yeah.
Just adorable.
How much is it like Zelda? Because, I mean, it looks identical.
They give you a sword, and you get a shield,
and
you
hit
things. The difference is you can lock onto things. Yeah, and you're a fox.
Oh.
I mean, it's very Zelda-like.
When I've seen it, I don't know how it plays, so tell me if I'm wrong. But you do look more agile than the 2D Zeldas of the past. Like, I know it's not a 2D game. I mean, there's like, it's isometric 3D, right?
Yeah.
You do look more agile to me. Does it feel
the animation,
more fluid?
You are more fluid and agile. I mean, I suppose you get to roll around, but you feel more in control of it.
That's cool.
Uh-huh. Or Link sometimes, and his roles were a little weird.
Yeah, he feels kind of, on those 2D Zeldas or isometric stuff and top-down stuff, he feels pretty stuck in animation cycles.
Yeah.
And when I've seen people play Tunic, and I kind of want to play it tomorrow when we go back to the center, it looks a little more fluid. So I just didn't know how it played.
Yeah, the demo, I think, is a little bare bones and probably intentional for PAX. Sure. But that little demo, that was a blast that I wanted to play again.
Nice. Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah.
There was one more game, though, I was really excited about, and I can't believe I missed it before here. And it was called Retromania Wrestlers.
Oh, yeah.
The Saturday Night Slam Masters clone.
Yeah.
It's almost exactly the same game, just good graphics.
Yeah.
They filed the serial numbers off. They have the Road Warriors in there.
They do.
I've seen a trailer of that game, yeah.
Famously one of the few good wrestling games from the 16-bit era. Right, Saturday Night Slam Masters.
Yeah, yep.
This is a clone.
Wasn't licensed, and it was this Capcom was like, we could do this.
Yeah.
We can make one of these good. The rest of them were just like all LJN, just like jerking off. Capcom's like, we made Final Fight and Street Fighter. We could do a wrestling game.
So it's like,
and like, no one ever gave Capcom the license to do a WWE game for some reason.
So Saturday Night Slam Masters was one of the influences there, but also WrestleFest, which was a... arcade game.
Mm-hmm.
And that was such a fucking good arcade game. I wasted dollars of my mother's hard-earned quarters.
You did
quarters.
What?
$12.
You did what, John?
Wait, yeah. Wait, I'm sorry, Mom. I did go into your purse and get a lot of quarters to play WrestleFest. But that game looks awesome. I had a lot of fun.
It felt exactly the same. The only thing we had trouble with is trying to tag each other in and out of the
game.
Yeah,
we couldn't really
figure that out. We weren't sure if it was us or the game having problems.
Tagging has historically been very bad in wrestling games. Mm-hmm. It's not easy.
So it's like, accurate to the era.
The genre.
Not,
I think so. I think that that probably is just like the same as it was. But I'm glad it sounds, it sounds rad.
I shared pictures with my old high school friends and they were like, it's exactly like this. I didn't tell them. Like, they were all excited and pumped too.
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome.
It's got a good meaty feel to the hits, like, yeah.
That's awesome.
In a good way, unlike Windjammers.
Oh, did you play that?
Yeah, it just did not feel that great to me.
Oh, really?
Oh no. Okay. Windjammers is a very good video game because I beat Nikki when we played it at PAX West.
Gotcha. Can confirm.
It's the reason it's good.
It's because I'm good at it.
Yeah.
That's my esport.
Like when you killed Amy Rose.
Yeah. Yeah. Or that other character in Streets of Rage that I killed.
Oh, yeah.
The guitar girl.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, guitar girl.
Yeah, I did kick her in the head by accident.
Nikki.
To death. It was the sequel to Amy
to
Rose.
To death.
No. Both of those games kind of have a similar look, though, too, where they're like taking
Sonic and Mario at the Olympic Games.
Yeah,
and
Sonic
and
Mario. Streets of Rage 4.
Yeah.
I was going to say Windjammers and Streets of Rage 4, but also you're correct. So people know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they have that. You were saying that thing that like maybe that Windjammers 2 does not benefit from not looking like a sprite game anymore.
Yeah, exactly. Like that. That's what I walked away with taking. Maybe it's the exact same 100% gameplay, but it did not feel the same.
Because
it looks so much different.
The fact that there are shadows is fucked up.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I never played the first one, so.
Yeah, we played it a little bit at the arcade near where we live right now, and so it's kind of like slightly fresh in our minds, but I haven't actually checked out Windjammers 2. It just feels like off.
It just wasn't right, and I think maybe it's because of the graphics change, where they tried to make it good graphics.
If it ain't broke.
Yeah.
Don't
fix it. I will say Streets of Rage 4, though, I do like what they did with it.
Yeah.
Like the fact that at first I was like,
Me too.
But now, when I actually played it, it's good, hand-drawn animation.
Yeah.
So it's,
it's pretty good.
Because do you remember the Double Dragon?
Neon.
Neon. Yeah. Not good.
Did not look good to me.
It was fine, I guess, but it was kind of ugly looking.
It looked, plasticky.
Yeah. Yeah, and, not in a good way. But this is better.
That's one of mine that I still haven't actually got my hands on, so I need to do that.
It's
tomorrow.
Fun. It seems like I've been playing the Capcom Beat 'Em Up collection lately
while
listening to audiobooks, and it is kind of funny how much you can exploit those games. The whole just going to the edge of the screen and the enemies can't do anything. And in this one, it's much more like a fighting game where the edge of the screen is a hard barrier, but that also means you can do juggles off the edge of the screen. So
they were really pushing that when they first announced it.
Yeah. They basically are. Oh yeah, you can't just cheat your way through this, but also to compensate for that, the skill ceiling is higher, so it's not just walk around and hammer A.
Yeah,
that's cool.
I still don't know when that thing's coming out.
Oh, that does not have a release.
I don't think they do. I think they said 2020, but
interesting. They just announced that last playable character last week too.
Yeah,
before this.
Doomfist.
Congratulations,
bald guy with
for
a huge robot arm.
Second appearance in a video game.
I mean, no, third because
third,
he was in
Mortal Kombat.
That's right.
No, wait, what?
Jax.
Jax.
I don't really consider. I was going to say third was in Apex Legends.
Oh yeah,
that guy.
That guy. Rip.
Show the proper respect.
What was that guy's name?
Oh, that was in it for 5 seconds.
That was in it for 5 seconds, and
they
got killed by the cool ninja.
What was his name?
Now I'm going to need everyone to take a guess as what this dude's name is.
Oh my god! From which one? Which
game?
Apex Legends. The swerve.
Oh, I know what it is.
The swerve that they put Revenant, who is a bad.
Yeah, don't say.
I recuse myself.
Colonel Blade.
Wow.
Starting with a showstopper.
All right, Colonel Blade.
Doom Guy.
All right.
Primax?
Okay, I'm going to say.
I like that. That's sounds like a real fucking name.
I'm going to say Rigor Mortis.
Nikki, do you want to take a guess? Do you know?
I have no idea.
Then take the guess.
Is it? It's not Atlas, is it?
It's not Atlas.
Well, what was it?
Is it Iron?
Ayn? Like the dog from Cowboy Bebop?
Ayn Rand?
Yeah.
I like that we both went to two very different places.
It's a different place.
Dumb.
Yeah. What is
It is Forge was the name.
I was close.
Forge.
That was so close.
The X-Men guy?
How did you forget?
Yeah.
Like, it was announced that it was Forge, and Nikki just kept on talking about Halo.
I have robot arms, and I can build anything. And I wear a bandana, and I help Cable in the future. That's my thing.
I got stabbed by the worst character in Apex Legends.
That guy's okay. Like, the
design
is right.
The design is bad.
The design is bad.
But the idea that, like, they have a thank you button in that game, and if you try to hit it, he says, "I'm not saying thank you," is very funny.
It's very good.
What a cool guy.
He's very good.
Nikki.
Hello.
Tell us about SpongeBob. what's happened? What is this?
Now, this is a game that I swear to Christ was
already out. It's not.
We had this conversation while we walked to the booth.
I couldn't believe this.
Like, wait, what was the original one?
It was called SpongeBob Battle for Bikini Bottom.
And is it, what is it?
It's a PlayStation 2.
Is it like a Grand Theft Auto?
It's a collect-a-thon.
It's a, yeah.
It's a Banjo-Kazooie.
It's a Banjo.
Interesting.
Now,
I also love that Nikki took this appointment. I ended up playing much more of the game.
Yeah. There was, okay. Now, I've not been doing this. I haven't been doing this for super long, but there were two appointments today where I like played 5 minutes of the game and I was like, oh, okay.
You got it. Yeah.
I got it.
Yeah.
Now, what's the protocol on me leaving?
You say you have another appointment.
Is that what I do?
Yeah.
Okay.
The protocol in this case was looking at me and saying, hey, do you want to get your hands on this?
Wow.
It was literally going, I need an adult, and walking away.
You know the PlayStation 2? You just kind of like think about the platformers, like the licensed platformers that THQ was making in 2003.
Yeah.
It's that. We literally asked the PR person.
I love this.
Listen, be very careful. We need them to send us a code. I'm just kidding.
I'm just kidding.
What do they say?
We can rent it on PlayStation 2.
I just want to start this off.
We get a Gamefly.
Y'all get Gamefly.
I will let Nikki take most of the point on this one, but I do want to say that the interview with this man at THQ Nordic, which he did just refer to as THQ the entire time without the Nordic.
Oh my God.
Yeah, they are
toy headquarters. It's THQ Nordic, and I just think it's important that we all remember that. Barack Hussein Obama.
Yeah, some people forget the Nordic, but I think it's important.
We asked, hold on, what the fuck? Why do I sound so weird? There we go. It's just the most buck wild thing. I asked them why. Like why SpongeBob Battle for Bikini Bottom? And they were like, the guy was literally like, well, we signed a deal with Nickelodeon and they told us to make this one. So
I mean, fair.
We're making this one fair. And then I think Steven, like 5 minutes later, Steven was like, so have y'all kind of taken any inspiration from any other
Crash
games?
Bandicoot remaster, Spyro remaster, and two very popular remakes.
The guy was like, no.
We made
the graphics better. That's literally all they did.
Yeah.
So you would call this a passion project.
So it's not like, because like with Crash and everything, like those were like complete rehauls,
yes,
right?
This is a remake like those. That's why I asked the question. It's a remake like that where they remade all
the
assets.
Completely rebuilt it in Unreal 4.
Please,
the newest.
Please, they rehydrated it.
Sorry. They rehydrated it in Unreal 4, but weirdly enough, they kept the original audio.
In some, he could not give us a clear answer about that.
So this is weird. Some of the voice actors, not correct.
No, Mermaid Man was not Mermaid Man.
But I think that's because he's dead.
Yeah.
Like in real life.
But if they have the original audio. Right.
Yeah.
And they bought the license to
You die in real life, so does your audio.
That's what it is.
Yeah, he was forgotten in the time stream.
Yeah.
It's kind of a bummer.
It's a PlayStation 2 game. I don't know, Steven, you played more of it than I did.
I did. It's exactly that. It's It's a lot like those Activision remasters, like the remakes, sorry, of Spyro and Crash Bandicoot, in that it is like very pretty, but it lacks a lot of the same level of care around the animations that those things have, I think.
Right.
Like the animations still just feel like rubbery ass.
There's definitely like a lack of character in this game, which is buck fucking
which
wild.
Is not great.
That's the thing.
It's SpongeBob. It's about SpongeBob. It's a cartoon video game. And like, I said this in the interview, and then I kind of thought about it a little bit later. There's like, and this is kind of endemic to the way that THQ kind of makes their video games, so this might be a little bit of a take. But like, there's, while we were doing the demo, I was like, I can't think of another children's property that has a dedicated console game that came out in the last like 5 years.
Yeah.
Like, right. I can't do it. And I was like, oh, this is cool. Because like every other game that is licensed is now a mobile game.
Right. Mm.
Then I was like, oh, but those mobile games are probably designed very specifically for mobile and kind of designed around the way that kids play video games. This is a video game that was designed in 2001, was released in 2002, and is now being released in 2020 with literally no changes to it.
Right.
And like kind of no changes to the way
I think he did say they added one boss fight.
Yeah, there's a boss fight in a battle mode.
Weird. Yeah,
they like literally
buff Squidward. Yeah, they like a boss fight now. Yeah,
the patch notes are huge. Listen, they buff Squidward's abilities. Strong. Now.
Yeah, he's a
they buff Squidward.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just so strange because it feels lifeless somehow.
Well, like even the Crash folks knew that if they had done that to Crash, it would have.
Yeah, it would have been useless. No, well, no, 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 no. Let him do it. Let him do it. Let him do it.
It would have crashed.
Wow.
And burned.
But like,
but even those Crash remakes, like most of the reviews that I saw when they came out were like, "Oh yeah, these games aren't.
Yeah,
these aren't good.
They were never like they were." Crash Bandicoot came out at the same time as like Mario 64, and like it was just
that's
like,
wild.
What if we made a 2D platformer, but in a corridor instead of like 2D?
Yeah. I was gonna say, and it's really reductive and not really fair to a lot of the other platformers of the time, but like unless you were Shigeru Miyamoto,
you didn't
can't
have
just
it.
Fucking make or a
rare.
Platform.
A guy.
Or rare.
I mean, I'm just gonna say,
but then again, was Yooka-Laylee great?
No.
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 But Banjo-Kazooie and Tooie.
Croc.
Yeah, but
we're talking about at the time.
I'm telling you, if you slapped a coat of paint on Mario 64, that's still
a good game.
Slap.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Like that's
maybe
someone
even like
remade
the,
it in Dreams actually.
Yeah.
Oh. Right, that's right.
They got the triple jump right. The third or fourth best 3D Mario game.
Okay.
I will say one thing again. I will say one thing about that era of platformers though is that like the Crash Bandicoot 1 sold significantly better than anything. The Spyro 1 also sold well, not as much, but Spyro holds up better.
Spyro holds up.
Spyro is a different thing.
You can actually move and like fly and
stuff. Yeah. And it's just kind of like gently collecting stuff. It's not really, it's open. Yeah. Not
there
like
were some
Crash.
Good PlayStation ones. Crash, I think, was like a weird first thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, oh, we just are going to try and do this. But like,
we just need
so
Sonic
it's weird
because
I feel like all of those, all of those games are just banking on nostalgia to some extent. So I wonder if that's there for a SpongeBob game?
Yeah,
like,
I don't
when there
know.
Are almost there's, definitely much
that's
better
the,
SpongeBob
that's the
mobile
other,
games
that's,
out now.
That's the other thing.
Yeah.
If this game is for me, a person who played the game on the PlayStation 2,
right.
I'm livid. Angry.
Yeah.
I'm so
right,
angry
yeah,
when
yeah.
I get 15 minutes into this game because it's like, oh.
Yeah.
I'm going to say a really, I'm going to say a curse thing and I'm really sorry.
Yeah.
Okay.
Those South Park games.
But
they lean the fuck into it.
Yes.
Hard.
Wait, what South Park games?
The South Park is the Secret Truth
and the
Butthole one.
The Butthole.
The Butthole.
The Butthole. Butthole.
What about them?
They lean so hard into the, oh God, I'm saying so many words. But the construction and craft of that exact property.
Yeah.
As shitty as it is to me personally.
Sure.
They're
committed so hard to the bit
that
like when I see something like SpongeBob not taking that same care with its own shit,
it's like, oh, that sucks.
It's a shame, yeah.
Yeah, all you got to do is just, like, lean into the source and, like, you know, at least tack on some interesting gameplay elements, and then you're good.
Nikki said this as we walked away from the booth, but it straight up felt like THQ's whole stance on this was like, we just want to do whatever Nickelodeon tells us to do, so they'll let us make other games from their war chest.
Which is buck wild. You know how when... What the fuck? Sorry. You know how when, like, Battlefront 2 came out and everyone was like, yeah, they wanted to make Luke got pink pants.
Yeah.
But Disney said no.
Luke got pink pants. Yeah.
Episode
10. Luke got pink pants.
It feels like THQ put that on a piece of paper and then gave it to Nickelodeon. Uh-huh. It was like, this is a thing that you can do to us.
Yeah.
You can tell us no.
You can tell us no.
It's just wild.
SpongeBob can't have pink pants.
I was like, are there, like, customization options, like, has anything been added
to
this
video
game? No.
And he was like almost not offended, because that would imply that this person at the booth had like any emotional response to anything we said at this time. He did not. The one thing he did get into is like, we couldn't get him to fucking say more than two words to us for most of this, except at one point he did just talk to us for about 5 minutes about a festival in Spain where they throw tomatoes at each other.
It was a weird demo.
Oh,
It had no
Festival de Tomate.
You just said tomato festival in Spanish. That's nothing.
So this is not DLC for SpongeBob.
No. He just brought it up. I don't know.
I was just saying that was his research.
I mean, just Squidward.
We didn't see him.
They could have. Did they add a dab?
No.
Of course, Squidward dab.
That's the thing.
Like they could have done that.
If you're going to kind of reach into this decades old video game,
yeah.
And kind of reanimate this corpse that no one really asked to be reanimated.
Rehydrate this corpse. Thank you very much.
Rehydrate this corpse.
Everyone at the table just fucking jumps down Nikki's throat.
Like, at least add a mode where, like, all of the text is, like, in alternating capital and lowercase letters.
Yeah.
That's the worst
SpongeBob
part.
SpongeBob battle for Bikini.
Exactly. There's absolutely no way there's a reference to that fucking meme in this game.
Or Buff Squidward. Or anything.
No.
There's not even references to other SpongeBob.
Like,
yeah,
but
yeah.
Like Patooed Bob in the game.
The
fusion of all three.
Literally the first thing I thought when you brought up the costumes thing is he's like, because he was like, his response was basically like, well, no, the SpongeBob looks like SpongeBob. What are you talking about? I was like, SpongeBob has other costumes and things in the course of that show.
Like musical SpongeBob.
So,
like,
but it's like ripped pants SpongeBob, you know?
So this team has, one, not been online in the past 5 years, and also just found out about SpongeBob from Nickelodeon, handing them a pamphlet that said, here's
basically
what this television
like
show was.
Who wears pants?
They just ripped
That's
the fucking
thing.
DVD, and they were like, "Can we just put new skins on this one?"
Bummer.
This is really depressing.
It sucks.
Oh, it's very depressing for Sabriel, I think, because I told you that what other licenses they hold, and I don't know if anybody's noticed.
Here's the thing: they've got the Avatar license, right?
Yeah,
exactly.
Okay, no, but here's the thing. That THQ Avatar game was hot garbage,
but
the easiest 1,000 gamer score on the Xbox 360. Now, I would completely change my fucking tune if they remastered the entirety of that Avatar, the Last Airbender game for the Xbox 360, and didn't change the goddamn thing. And they built the whole fucking game.
Just give me a plat. Just give us pretty plat.
If they built an easy plat, I would give them $60 American for it.
Listen, I need my rank to go up.
Yeah. God.
I'm an achievement hunter. That's something I haven't really talked about a lot on the show. But I'm part of a community of people who, like, sort of that's our whole thing.
Wow. There are dozens of us.
We are Legion. Just got to get those achievements. You
dozens
know?
Of people who still care about achievements.
Daniel, did you play something today?
What a sad.
Dozens of us.
Yeah.
I don't want to alienate any achievement hunters who listen to
the
show.
No.
Or Achievement Hunter, the brand.
We respect you deeply. Achievement Hunter rights.
I don't understand you, but I support you.
Yeah.
Support your right.
Achievement Hunter right.
Achievement Hunter right.
Support Hunter's rights, says fanbite.com.
He's playing games bad, and that's fine.
Danielle, did you play stuff today?
I played two games today.
All right, tell me about it.
I really liked both of them.
Okay.
I'll tell you that. I'm going to tell you about
You like one. Everything, apparently.
Yeah.
According
to some people.
Who?
Well,
Well, I'll talk about the one that's more difficult to talk about.
Okay.
Not for any reason about the game. It's just me.
It's just tough for you.
The title is really hard to say.
There's an umlaut in here. What the fuck?
All I will say is that I may have had a slight whoopsie and a slight mistaken identity issue when I went to this booth today. That's all I'm going to say.
Wow. Oh, okay.
Thank you very much for this tour. It was very good. I played Kana Quest, which is a genuinely very cool game. It is a game. The designer's name is Theo. Said his sort of design, sort of guiding principle here was, can I make a game if I know all the educational portion of it, that I would still think it was like a really awesome and fun game, but also it had some educational elements to it. Okay. Basically like a very fun game that also teaches you some stuff, and it teaches you some hiragana and katakana. So what you do is you have some cool tiles that have the actual like... The kanji, that's the term.
Mm-hmm. Kanji are the
it
big
depends.
Ones.
Yeah.
The big
the kana
ones.
are the individual
katakana.
No, yeah.
Kana. Yes. Uh-huh. Sorry, I'm you trying to make sure I get this all right. Separate I haven't played enough of it. Clearly,
there are some weebs right now that just turned off.
There are three different kanji are like borrowed Chinese characters.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
One of them.
No,
is
it's okay.
Korean. The other one is. Hiragana or katakana, I think one of them is...
Listen. Hiragana are like more what children use, and katakana are...
Well, we're all us.
Now,
like,
about the video game that Danielle played.
Yeah, sure.
We're talking about
how
it.
How to
dab.
It's a very cool puzzle game where you click on a tile, and it'll have like two American... It'll have the Japanese inscription, and then if you click on it, it'll have the sort of Americanized or romanticized, whatever the term is. Sorry.
Romaji.
Yeah, there are Romaji. Okay.
Romanization.
Yeah.
This is all fun.
Sorry,
I
died a week ago.
It's okay.
My rehydrated
it's
corpse is
It's remarkable that your ghost is here.
Walking among us.
I'm glad the summoning worked.
Yeah.
And it'll be like N-A or K-I or something like that. And if there's an I sound or a K sound, the next tile next to it will sort of vibe with that tile. It's really cool. It's like a cute little animation. And what you need to do is make all the tiles vibe four in a row, basically. Nice. So you're kind of matching the sounds, and you're sort of learning by exposing yourself to all these cool characters. Each, it's like there's like 13 worlds of the puzzle, and they all have a different sort of concept. So in the first world, it was just sort of teaching you just the general flow of the game. The second world that I played started showing you sort of like hidden sounds that you would figure out by... contextually, like putting this sound around it, no, or that sound around it, no, they didn't match. You kind of figure out by process of elimination. It was extremely cool and like extremely cute. The animation was very cute. The graphics were beautiful. Like it was very pretty. It was pixel art, but not like it didn't look like grungy pixel art. It's just like very pretty little sort of almost pastoral landscapes, but with very cute animation and stuff like that.
It looks like old PC, like engine-esque.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So very
wait, do they teach
ambient.
You like, do you like make words and they teach you?
It's kind of teaching you more the sounds and also
the structure
of it. Okay. Like, okay. Ni and ki and na and no and like all these like sounds.
It's all the same vowel sounds
the same
with different consonants at the start in Japanese.
It sounds like the first like five lessons of Duolingo.
John, as somebody who has used...
It kind of is, but you know, in a fun little puzzle game, hopefully it sticks. Like on a show floor, it's a little hard for it to stick.
Right.
Sure.
But like, I think my first thought was, I want to get home and actually try this.
Yeah.
As someone who's been through 10 stages of Duolingo to learn Japanese and forgotten every single fucking thing in about a two-week span, I'd be interested to try something like this that might have like extra elements that might help me remember that. So
yeah, and it worked as a puzzle game, even me just standing there for 20 minutes and being again,
now,
I had a little
oopsie.
I was slightly distracted.
Was something else on your mind?
You know, something else was on my mind.
That's some good pins.
Always on my mind.
I had some good pins.
Some very cute pins.
If people are having trouble, by the way, like conceptualizing what this looks like, it looks like threes.
Yeah, sure. Oh. Sure. Yeah, sure.
Oh, threes.
Yeah, there's like, you know a game. Little blank field and a few.
All the tiles are the same shape and they
tiles.
Literally have little smiley faces.
Right.
Like the tiles and threes.
Cool.
So, very clean, simple presentation. It was cool to talk to Theo. He had a lot of like really interesting design thoughts.
Oh, the music
was
great too.
The music was very cool.
Oh, that's awesome.
Very, very cool. The other game I played, I'll also make it quick.
Yeah.
I played a game called Sometimes Always Monsters, which is the sequel to Always Sometimes Monsters. All right. I'm gonna let you know. I'm gonna let you know right now.
Yeah.
Their first game was Always Sometimes Monsters. Uh-huh. It was a game I really liked. I reviewed it at Polygon. I thought it was a very fun and, you know, like it's like a very funny and sweet and poignant little like adventure life living simulator. It's just like it looked like an RPG Maker game that just had a lot of polish kind of thrown onto it, but I dug that and it was kind of fun.
Yeah.
That game is from like 6 years ago and the sequel is called Sometimes Always Monsters. And it's in the first game, you're playing a very down on your luck writer who's like homeless for a portion of the time and like kind of bums it and like, you know, sort of.
I love Alan Wake.
Bums it. And, yeah, you know, it's about Alan Wake. It's about this guy, Alan Wake. In this sequel, and you through the course of that book, you finally create like your first manuscript and that's fine. In this one, you're married and successful and you're on a book tour. And somebody, a journalist from Stalker Media, has accused you of plagiarism.
Wow!
Oh no! Stalker this game media. Heavily leans into its roots. Like it back then, references to reporters in Games Journal. And back then,
they
heavily lean into the community too. So.
And one time, Stalker made fun of Hulk Hogan.
Honestly, yeah, it's a lot of that. Loved the first game. I loved that you always had to play like all these little like dead end jobs and all this other kind of stuff was going on. The music is awesome. The whole vibe of it is just like, I love exploring little places.
Uh-huh.
And there's like five cities in this one apparently where it's like you can go into every little shop.
Cool.
There's some little dialogue in every single little area. There's like fake, you know, like fitness centers and fake, you know, kind of banks and movie theaters, and you can watch fake movies and cute stuff like that. It'll trigger a cutscene. It's just like a very fun little world.
Feels
and a fun little
crafted.
Very lovingly crafted. I think the team is like two or three people.
Nice.
And they show up in their games making fun
all
of
the
themselves
time.
And stuff like that. That's it's just fine. Like a very, I don't know, I like the whole vibe of it. I do enjoy the like exploring this little.
We got a review from Mason Dreyer that says that you plagiarize your book.
I mean,
Gobaku.com.
Gobaku? How could they on Gobaku?
So what did happen to me today is that I rolled by that stand and I was like, wow. I feel like that game's been out for a really long time, and I completely fucking forgot that the old one existed.
Me too.
And so I was just like, oh.
That, you did I gotta say, so, the title thing feels like asking for trouble.
It
like,
did.
I was like, oh, is this the port?
They did not take an SEO course.
They intentionally did to themselves what Outer Wilds and The Outer Worlds did to
each
other.
You mentioning that the name problem,
or
games that have been here forever.
Yeah.
Yesterday, I mentioned to Steve, like, you know, God, I've been coming to PAX East since 2014, and every year, Just Shapes and Beats is here. And it's the first year I haven't seen it. And then today, I'm walking around, and I'm like, I know that music.
Oh,
it's here for 7 years in a row.
Well,
maybe longer.
You mentioned Tunic, and when I walk by Tunic, fucking Overland.
Yeah.
They were showing Overland.
Playable. That shit's out. Adam, that shit is out. Like, you don't have to bring it to fucking
Well,
cards
I mean,
anymore.
Nintendo just had an enormous Pokemon booth.
They did.
Sword and Shield
is
Sword
here.
Not even for the DLC.
And I was
no,
like,
yeah.
base game.
No talking, one was there because it's like, this game came out like
I was talking. I was talking to Mary. Yesterday, I walked by this... This other area by the Nintendo booth on the exhibition floor, and there was like a crowd of people, and there was like an MC that was like, "All right, everybody, what's going on?" I thought it was some Animal Crossing thing. It's like, "All right, yeah, let's get some noise in here. Who's ready to play some Luigi's Mansion 3? And I was like, "What?" I was like,
"My guy,
it's out, guys. Like, what
it's
are you
been
doing?
Out for
it's been out for 6 fucking months. Like, what are you talking about?"
Uh oh. Be it security on us.
Oh. Okay, sorry.
Gotcha.
Thanks.
You too.
You do.
We got busted.
We got busted.
Damn.
Guys, we got
5-star rating.
So can I tell you a quick story?
Yeah.
Years ago, I was at a friend's apartment, and Mario Kart had just come out. One of the ones for like a Wii or something like that.
Yeah.
And we were down there. It's like 7 of us just having so much fun. And it was the late hour of like 8:30.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
And we're playing loudly. And we got the cops called on us.
Like the literal cops.
Yeah. There was no drinking at this party.
Fuck.
And we didn't. So all of a sudden we hear bam, bam, bam on the door. And it's a cop. We're all like, what is going on? We're just playing Mario Kart.
We're having a wholesome evening.
Yeah, we were actually. Oh God. And then we also had someone getting our D&D game ready for later that night. Like, this is an amazing party with no alcohol and playing video games and D&D. And all of a sudden we had a cop called on us. And he's just like, looks at us and like, and he's like trying to like be intimidating to our host. He's like, you know, I could have told you to bring you in if you would have told me to pound sand. And we're like, what does that even mean?
And then pound sand, Kappa.
And then and then he's like,
listen, Flatfoot, get out of here.
And then, like, and then he literally says to his partner, he's like, this is the lamest party we've ever busted.
Wow, what a judgy fucking
yeah. Oh, geez. So we tone the game down.
can I tell you about a game I played today?
Yeah, please. Yeah, oh wow, ASMR.
This
holy
is
shit.
A
please tell us about the game.
This is play. A retro inspired kind of comedy based game made by a small team. And John, I think you probably know what I'm talking about. Did. I'm of course talking about the Angry Video Game Nerd Deluxe Edition.
Oh my god! Oh my god!
I walked by that today. Projectile.
Sort of doing a bait and switch there. No, but they are actually. I will say that on the train here, I was like, "Oh, those games are definitely on the Switch, right?" And I like went looking and was like, no, they're not, but like they are going to be, I guess. So
oh,
Nintendo okay. Was like no problem with having poop or bullshit jokes.
Have you been on the Switch store lately?
Yeah. The Switch is a fucking wild west out there.
It's like
you want
Xbox
some porn games about maids?
Games.
Yes.
Yeah. It's just like you can just get a game that's just pictures of Japanese women in swimsuits.
Yeah,
you're right.
And
yeah.
And just like live action videos. There's no gameplay. It's just like a weird like mid-2000s DVD menu to look at like fucking Yakuza live action videos.
Right. Okay, so I actually might play those. I don't know. They're just like difficult platformers, but whatever. The real game I was going to talk about was Knuckle Sandwich.
Oh, how is that?
Which is a game by Andrew Brophy and a few other people. And
Nikki, how's the audio right now?
Yeah, are we doing too quiet?
Okay. We're great. It's all great. It's after dark.
Wow, can you believe it? Then when we're talking at a normal volume.
After dark.
Unbelievable.
Knuckle Sandwich is, I mean, it's inevitably going to draw comparisons to Undertale as sort of like.
It looks a lot like Undertale.
But it looks fun.
It doesn't look like Undertale.
No, I just mean like the
vibe
the
of
gist
it. I mean, the art style is very different. And also it has these like interesting like 3D elements to it as well. Like some of the cutscenes are 3D. Cool, but they made it in Game Maker. And so they made all these 3D elements in a 2D setting, which is difficult and
that's
weird.
That's cool. Every studio that I know that's ever tried to do that, it's like, it doesn't really work.
Yeah.
But this looks fine.
It looks cool. Yeah. It's like a quirky turn-based RPG that draws on Earthbound and games like that.
Yeah.
And
the character design almost looked a little like Maniac Mansion to me.
Yeah,
that's cool. Uh-huh.
Like this is like little kind of big kind heads, of big heads. And, like cartoony. Yeah.
Like Maniac Mansion 1 versus
I don't
remember.
Just the one with the big heads.
So there were two demos. One of them was like, the first 5 minutes of the story, and one of them was like 20 minutes of like the gameplay. So I was like, I'll do the latter. But like it just sort of drops you in midway and doesn't really tell you what it's about. So I'm not really sure. And so I just saw like a lot of combat and stuff.
Oh.
And it's cool. They have like basically WarioWare style little mini games for like attacks and skills and things.
Oh.
So like for example, and this is true whether you're attacking or the enemy is. So like one of the enemies is like a skeleton, and it's like, it uses like bone blast or something, and then it opens up this little like Windows menu of like the skeleton ship like shooting bones at you, and you're just like doing a shooter, and you have to like avoid the bones and shoot. It's like Undertale did that kind of thing too, right?
Yeah.
But
it sounds like this has like its own unique aesthetic.
It has its own vibe. Well, it looks a little more like
cool
Earthbound.
As hell, actually.
Yeah. To me, I would say this looks like the game that Y2K, a postmodern RPG, thinks it is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like it wants to be and aspires to be, and it actually has like a point of like not a point of view, but like a style and like a design. That
the one thing I will say is even by the end of the demo, I was kind of like, okay. These mini games are fun the first couple times. And then after that, I'm like, okay, then I keep running into enemies and I'm like, I just want to find my way out of this maze. Like, I don't want to keep fighting these guys. Yeah. And like, that's like.
You don't like grindy stuff, though.
I don't like grindy stuff, but like, also, like, for me, the problem with any RPG that does this kind of thing is like, okay, well, do I have RPGs to do this?
Because she does, you do clearly like grinding.
Well, I play
things.
Destiny. Play Destiny. Yeah.
Anyway, sorry, I just had to correct myself.
Yeah,
I gave John a look.
Yeah,
that's pure skill based. They're disabling the artifact for next season and PvP, so it is just skill based. But yeah, I'm like, okay, because my closest analog to this would be like the Mario and Luigi games, which I played actually like two or three of, and those are kind of the same. Like you see enemies walking around, and like you like. It's like active combat, but I guess that's what the main thing I wonder about a game like this is like the longevity of like, when will that start to drag?
Right.
Because it's more than just grinding. You're not just like hammering the button. You're like, you have to do timing based things to like actually do fights. And like Undertale, I never actually played it, but like, you're not like constantly fighting, right?
No.
Whereas this is like, you see enemies walking around and like, there's a lot of them.
I would say one of the, and actually was going to be one of the questions I was going to ask you about this was that in Undertale, part of the reason I think it works is that there are so many of those mini games. Like they're constantly changing and throwing them at you differently. I wasn't sure.
Well, each enemy seems to have its own things and not every, like there's some attacks that just like, that don't have a mini game. They just like go off. And like even your basic attack is kind of, it's, there's like two things that can happen. One is like kind of like a golf thing of like there's just like a bar bouncing back and forth and like you have to time it to like hit a certain point.
Sure.
The other one is like a spinning ring and like there's like a target that appears and you have to like keep hitting it and like you can keep going until you miss. But yeah, it's like more just like even like the basic attacks have things like that. And it's not just like, you know, Mario and Luigi, like you just tap when you like land on a jump to do more damage.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting like conceit. And I think it'll just be like a question of balancing how often you're doing that stuff.
Maybe how long the game is.
And how long the game is as well.
Yeah.
And again, I don't really know anything about the narrative, but it's like a modern day setting and like Earthbound EU. But
looked like there was like teens at a pool party or something like that. In
I think there's also like a vampire, maybe.
Oh,
there's a vampire guy.
Good.
Okay.
Bus driver.
I feel like there's like an element of like that they drew one character in this low poly PS1 looking thing that's like watching a screen where it appears to be the rest of the game is happening. That was happening on the cutscene stuff while the game was actually being played.
Yeah,
I couldn't really piece that together, but it looks interesting.
I mean, it looks cool. I think it's worth like keeping an eye on.
Yeah, cool.
I do too.
Well, you know what? We've been busted by the cops. We've been busted by our own lack of energy and sleep.
I'm actually great right now.
Yeah, I'm ready to go. Let's go talk about three more podcasts. Let's go. Wow,
Saber, incredible. You want to stick around? We'll just do another episode.
Yeah,
we'll
just incredible.
Just me and you.
I can't believe you found the cocaine.
we swapped out Danielle's flower from earlier.
That's what it was.
We do have a full day 3 tomorrow. Our panel is tomorrow.
Yeah.
So if you are in the Boston area and you listen to this between now and 2:30 Eastern time.
2:30 Eastern time Saturday.
Saturday.
Because I don't know if this podcast will
That's
be up
true.
Tonight.
That's true.
Oh, it will.
It will, but
oh,
maybe.
Damn.
I'm doing it.
Hell yeah, wow. Danielle.
Yeah.
See? She's got energy too.
I know. Well, yeah. But we will have our panel tomorrow and that's Saturday, February 29th. At 2:30 at the Cuttlefish Theater. So if you're at PAX and you have a pass, come by and hang out with us for the hour. And then, you know, teleport to the Women in Esports panel.
Yeah, I'll be there.
Which Savriel is, you're on the panel, correct?
Yeah, I'm on the panel.
That's very exciting. Just hit those two. Just
hit them.
Leave 5 minutes before ours ends. If I'm honest, we always have like a 5 minutes of dead air somewhere. We'll put it at the end.
We'll slot it in.
The whole room will be silent for 5 minutes.
Find our other podcasts. We keep putting daily recaps up. We put episode 2 of Fan Fight up. It's a very good episode.
God,
it's super, super good. Stay tuned. We'll see you.
Yeah.
when we see you.
Be seeing you.
Through the window
tonight.
Not if
I see you first.
That's the classic sign-off.
Be seeing you.